Now, the book that we have to speak from has come from God. It is a revelation from God, the Word of God, and it is a revelation of God, and it is a revelation of man, too. It gets a little uncomfortable, and oh, we need to be made uncomfortable about our state before God, if not saved. For every one of us, boys, girls, men, women, shall give an account of himself to God. Now, the shortest statement that I know of in the Bible, a complete sentence, has two words and seven letters in it. You may know of a shorter statement than that, but I don't. Would you like to see it? Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. I think that we should all look at this very short statement that God has caused his servant, the apostle Peter, to write in his first book and the second chapter and in the middle of verse 17. These two words, fear God. Very, very interesting. Only seven letters with such a tremendous message. Do you fear God? I do. Thank God. Thank God. I fear God. As I understand it, fear has two senses, two meanings to me at least. A fear of dread, like Adam, when he had sinned, he was afraid and went and hid himself. Lost sinners always are doing that in some way or another. But when you learn who God is, you learn who he is, what he is, who he is, love, light, love, and the ever-existing one, your fear of dread turns to one of reverence. A love of his that has worked in your heart to love him and not dread God, but be at home in his presence, realizing still that you and I are just men, and he is God, and we want to always keep that reverential fear of God, not of being scared of him, but of affection, because he comes out by being born by the Word of God and brings us into sonship, and we know him as Father. Do you pray? Do you pray? When you pray, do you say Father to God? It's the best sign I know of being born again, that you can call God. Who's the God to be feared? Your Father. Well, you remember that there were two malefactors crucified alongside of the Lord Jesus back there 1950 and more years ago on Calvary's brow. We sing. And one of those malefactors turned to the other one and said, "Dost not thou fear God?" seeing we are in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, but this man on the center cross, he had done nothing amiss. What a wonderful beginning of salvation that was for that sinner. Well, he was a sinner. He knew it. He confessed it. He said, "Don't you fear God?" We ought to fear God. He did fear God. We're sinners. All of us. Reminds me of Eric Smith writing with him in Lima many years ago in a taxi across the city when it was much smaller and very few cars and quite a lot of them Model A Fords. And old as they were at that time, there were still some Model T Fords. But a lot of later models up into the 40s and a few of the 50s. And traffic was slow. And we left early in the morning to go somewhere. And the taxi driver cruised right on through a red light. And Eric reached up, tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Sir, you're a sinner." He turned back and said, "Cómo? How?" Eric says, "By nature and by practice. You just went through a red light." "Oh," he said, "there wasn't anybody coming." "By nature and by practice. That's you. That's that taxi driver. Born in sin, practicing sin." These are the people that Jesus Christ was sent into the world to save. There's an opportunity for you. There's good news for you tonight. Oh, you can be saved. Let us go now to Acts chapter 8. There are wonderful stories in the gospel, in the Bible. And here is one of the very choice ones. In Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26, let us read. Acts. The Acts of the Holy Spirit sent down here, seeking by the gospel to save sinners and using people to carry the message. The man we're going to read about is the first, perhaps the only one I know of in the Bible at least, who was later called an evangelist. This Philip, let's read about him. Verse 26 of Acts 8. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? He said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Well, what I think is so very interesting in this account of the salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch is the action, the operation of the Holy Spirit of God in two places simultaneously, or arranged to bring two people together at a certain point in history to convey a message about Jesus Christ, whom Isaiah the prophet wrote about. And I can say I believe it's almost always so in the work of God. At least He has a thought to reach you and you and you and you and I with this message. For the range of the gospel is whosoever. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's the range of it. It is for all. And I'll just say that I believe there's a proof of this in this way, that when the gospel is beginning to come clearly in the early chapters here where we are in the book of Acts, God reaches down and chooses one of the descendants of Ham in this chapter. In the next chapter, one of the descendants of Shem. In the next chapter, the 10th chapter, one of the descendants of Japheth. Those three sons of Noah who peopled the cleansed earth. He's pointing, say, I want all of them. And he gets some of every race. He wants you. He wants me. He wants all. I'll say it here, not as a correcting thing to anybody. I might have made the statement myself. But we, perhaps most of us, have heard this statement. God wants quality instead of quantity. I don't think that's at all accurate. He wants quantity, and He gets quality. Like we heard from this platform, He gets newborn souls, like His Son, to bring to glory. Well, He wants all of them. That's the heart of God in love. Have you responded to His love? It is manifested to the fullest in the gift of His own dear Son, in whom was His good pleasure to send Him to save me. Are you saved? He wants to save you. He is looking for you. Now this eunuch was looking for something. He'd gone up to Jerusalem to worship. He had heard in his far country to the south that there was blessing in Jerusalem. And he came looking for it. Under the old order of things, where Jerusalem had been the center, but it had gotten changed. Before he got there, how was he going to get blessing? Not under the old Jewish economy, but under the brand new economy that had been begun. The grace of God. This period of the grace of God, not the law of God. No, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We had in John 1. doesn't say law and truth came by Jesus Christ, does it? No. Grace and truth. And when he was looking, did he find it? I believe, seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Is always true. Sinner, are you seeking the Savior? If you are, you will find him because he is seeking you. So, the Spirit of God knew this. And here was Philip, one of the seven, chosen into the work of a deacon and advanced. And here he was, told to go. You walk down through that place that's a desert. Notice, he didn't get his space trip going down. He got it coming back. Sometimes God tests his servants that way. Makes it a little difficult to go. But I think we generally find it's easy to return. To come back home. And so, Philip walked, as we understand here. He went down there, and that Holy Spirit who is ranging all brought him right there at the right time. There's this big chariot going by. Oh, this is a grand man. He was the treasurer to this queen of Ethiopia, riding in a chariot. But he had acquired Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah, it is. He was hungry. He just go along there reading. Beautiful picture, isn't it? Right out there where it's nice and quiet. Just those chariot wheels making a little grinding noise in the sand. Had a driver up there. Sit back there and read it. But he didn't know what he was reading. He needed somebody to tell him what he was reading. And he got it. Philip came along. And he was reading this portion in Isaiah 53. Verse 32 says, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now that's strange language. Any person who knew nothing about the Lord Jesus and picked up a prophet of Isaiah would wonder, well, who are you talking about? So he needed to know. And he got it very clearly, not in a lot of words that was written down here. It says, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus the Savior. Jesus the Savior. He heard. He believed. He was saved. He went on his way rejoicing, and you will too if you take Jesus as your Savior. There's no joy like it. And it just begins down here, and it goes on like that feast we heard about this afternoon. In the Father's house, they began to be merry, and it doesn't say anything about it stopping, because it's not going to. When we're brought into there, all these blessings will magnify and build up in that glory scene. Are you saved? Do you want to be? God wants you to be. You can be. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by faith, by trusting. I like to use the English language in a simple way with those two words, faith and trust. The spelling of them, I is in the middle of faith. That's I. You are in the middle of trust. It's faith in Christ. It's trusting in Christ that saves. Just a little thing to remember. I believe. I'm in the middle of belief. You're in the middle of trust. Do you trust? Well, that brings salvation. Faith in Christ. Fear God. Trust God. Believe God. I like to give some stories that will illustrate a little in parallel of what we have read here about the eunuch and Philip in connection with what I know about the work in Peru. My way of interest to you, who so many are interested. My way of example and encouragement to handle the Word of God and go forth with it and to preach the gospel and to look for results, for there will be. Back in 1958, Eric Smith's wife, Gertrude, died of cancer, buried down in Bolivia, in the middle of that country. And he, wanting to get away, set forth to come to the United States to bring along a native Indian. Some here at this conference were asking me about Francisco. I remember Don Francisco. And they set forth, leaving La Paz, Bolivia, by bus to go by land to Lima, Peru, a long, rugged journey over the Andes Mountains in rare atmosphere where it's a struggle to get oxygen. And he had gotten his papers in order to cross the border at Lake Titicaca into Peru, so they told him. They arrived in the night at the border, and the customs official said, "Your papers are not in order, you can't enter." He said, "Well, the officials in La Paz told me they were." He said, "We won't let you in. What can you do?" He got off the bus. Couldn't go. So he prayed about it. And to return to La Paz was the only thing, but there was no bus. But along came a truck. And he got on the back of the truck and rode back to La Paz. Arrived there late at night. And got a motel to rest in. Called up the plane, the airline office the next morning. And inquired if there were seats on the plane to go to Lima. I think about the first time he'd flown, very one of the early times. They said, "There are two." He said, "I'll take them." He got aboard the plane and flew to Lima and arrived there, I think, 2 days ahead of the old bus that he would have been riding on, a day and a half or so. So he had some time before he went on. Well, he thought of an account he'd put in a bank down on Melchor Mallow Street, in a bank there in Lima. So he went down there to withdraw it. He had put it in Gertrude's name, so he was going to withdraw it. And he asked for the account. And the clerk went back in the back room and stayed quite a long time. And then he came out. He said, "Sir, the boss wants to see you." So Eric went back with him, ushered into a nice office, and the gentleman said, "Here's a seat for you. I want to ask you a few things." So Eric sat down, and the gentleman said, "Are you Mr. Smith?" He says, "Yes." "Are you Mr. Eric Smith?" He says, "Yes, I am." "Are you Eric Smith, the missionary?" He said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "Maybe you can help me. I'm in trouble in my soul. I've been miserable for weeks. And I've been to high prelates in the Catholic system, and even in the Protestant churches, looking for relief for my soul, and I have not found it. Can you help me?" Eric says, "Yes, I believe I can." So he took out his Bible and read from it about the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. The Spirit of God was working with that man and arranging for this other man to come to meet him. The man in the bank was Raul Balderrama. He accepted Christ in his office that day. And blessing has continued to flow from that encounter and still is going on, as you mostly here know about. And I thank God I have seen a great deal of that work and been encouraged a little in it in various ways, how that the light of the truth about Jesus brings peace to souls, settles the guilty conscience, removes the dreadful fear of God, and brings in a reverential, awesome fear of God that has love behind it and wants to be in His presence and is brought there in peace. Do you fear God? I tell you, you better fear God. And you better learn who God is. He is manifested in the person of the Lord Jesus. He is the only Savior of sinners. There is no other way into the presence of God. And you're going to have to give an account of yourself to God. I have given my account. Many here have given their account already. Oh, it gets serious. It gets solemn. A dear old brother amongst us, 60 years ago, 50 years ago, I remember him at least, he would say, you, all of you are going to be a witness to the power of God forever and ever. Did you know that? It's the truth. In one way or another, the power to save or the power to judge. Have you given your account? You're going to give it if you haven't given it. Oh, come to the Lord Jesus tonight. Take Jesus as your Savior. Well, I was coming back through Lima some 20 years ago. No, not quite that long ago. Maybe 12 or 15. And privileged to stop there. And in the little room that was built there, they brought in some to hear the gospel. It came about this way. One of the early converts in the work there is named Honorato Valencia. I was there at his baptism, and he was a very poor man. And a little later, I was visiting there, and we went up on the mountain where he lived. And he lived in a cardboard and tin little shelter that was raised over the corner of a little hole in the rock. The mountain was largely rock. And it was populated by poor people. Just here's a little hut. Right over there's another one. Right over there's another one. Hanging onto the side of the hill. And I remember this so well because Adolfo is his son. Adolfo at that time was a little boy of about 5. Sitting on an inverted battery box. They use everything down there. Old battery, they just taken the insides out of it and turned it upside down, and that was Adolfo's chair. Well, Adolfo grew up, and he got to be a young man, and he loved the Lord, and at this time, when I came back through, he brought 6 of his companions to the gospel meeting. Oh, what a privilege it was to speak to those boys that night. And I still remember it. 6 of them confessed Christ at the end of that day. Oh, and Adolfo's still there. But one of them I still remember. Pantojas. I see a brother here who I think knows Pantojas. He's there yet. Well, this is just a way that God carries on the message. and it still goes on. And are you getting it? Are you getting the blessing of eternal life by faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, and the joy of being in God's family now and speaking to others about the love of God, the salvation that is to be had through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, and coming into the favored position as purged worshipers? This can all be yours, even down here. And in the end, that home in the glory with Christ and like Christ. Oh, the gospel of the grace of God is the gospel of the glory, because it brings us right into that glory. Well, I see our time has gone pretty fast, and only 5 minutes left. I'm a little bit surprised. But it doesn't take long to tell out the gospel. And it doesn't take long to hear it and receive it. Jesus, when here, preached the gospel. And one of his statements is, let these sayings sink down into your ears. That means right down in your conscience. They heard it with their ears. Let it sink down into your ears means down into your conscience. Let this story of Jesus as the Savior of sinners sink down into your conscience and check up and see if you are saved. If you're not, I don't know of a more frightening position. A few weeks ago, down in the city of Indianapolis, we had been there shortly before that. There's this account, this story that came out, and you've heard it and read it, about the plane that came down there. This pilot had left, as I remember, from the east with an old trainer plane, a single engine jet, flying west. Doesn't matter which direction he's going. But when he got between Indianapolis and Terre Haute, up about 10 or 15,000 feet in the air, his engine just quit like that. Now, I tell you, when you're in a single-engine plane, one of them quits, you're going to come down. Yes, you are. He knew it. Oh, it was serious. And so he radioed both towers, I think, Indianapolis and Terre Haute. At first, they mentioned Terre Haute because I think he was gliding that direction. They said, you're closer to Indianapolis, so he turned and glided. That's all you can do. No power. Power is gone. It's going to come down. He glided toward Indianapolis. It was an overcast. And all he could do was go by the instructions given him from the radio tower. Well, they brought him down within sight of the field at last. But he had missed the field, so much so that he could not get in on the runway. He said, I'm going to have to leave this plane. He pointed the plane to the open space and waited longer than he should have in his courage to seek to direct that plane in the open fields. He pushed the button. Out he went at 300 feet. His chute brought him down, and he wasn't hurt hardly at all. But that plane went right over and bounced off the roof of a bank and charged into the lobby of the Ramada Inn, about a quarter or half a mile east of the field, and 9 souls were consumed with fire, ushered into eternity. I relate this because you don't know how near you are to the end death overtakes, as we've heard two nights here from this platform. But there's another thing that I expect far sooner than that, and that is the Lord's return. He is going to come back. That blessed Savior is going to come back and claim His purchased possessions, those who are dear to Him. And if you're saved, you're very, very dear to Him. Oh, He gave His life's blood for you, for me. He's going to come and claim us and take us out of this place before He brings that judgment. Are you going to be a witness to the power of God to save eternally, or a witness to the power of God to judge for the same length of time? The decision is yours. Oh, take Jesus. Receive the Lord Jesus by faith in your heart. As the little boy who had heard the gospel message said when he got home and he got saved that night, he said, oh, to his sisters, a little bit older than he, it's so easy to get saved. Why don't you get saved? When you get saved, you'll go on your way rejoicing, and that way will take you right up to be with that Savior. And we'll sing about the precious blood that is the price to bring us there in the 34th hymn. The price has been paid. The cost was too great for anyone except God. He gave His own Son. The church of God, which He purchased with the blood of His own. Oh, the precious, precious blood of Jesus.